Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Wednesday evening. Glad you took the opportunity to be with us tonight. I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land, and if you're out there listening on the radio on the 88.1, we welcome you also, too. We're going to sing a couple songs tonight, so let's grab a hymnal and turn to page 177. 177, let's stand and sing. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something pages over to 215. We'll sing one more. 215. Majesty.
Ken, it's good to be with you tonight. I missed you Sunday. I'd rather been here by far than dealing with what I was dealing with, but I need to confess something to you tonight. There's been a heat-em-up meal in the downstairs refrigerator for about 4 months, and it was broccoli, rice, and steak, and I was too tempted today. And it is no longer in the downstairs refrigerator. I ate it, so if it was yours, I owe you $5, okay? Maybe $7 in this economy. But that's the only thing in there. That was the only thing in that whole. I told somebody with as many concussions as I've had, usually you play on Sunday and make a lot of money. But I don't need any more. But I do ask you to pray for me. I've not took my diabetes seriously. And the Lord gets your attention and he's merciful. So just pray for our household, because it's got to be a household change, you know. But tonight we're blessed I guess it's been back more than I remember, but we faithfully lifted up the name Steve Nett. And I told you about him being a friend of ours and a pastor in Lee County at Thompson Settlement. And I'd been trying, he'd been wanting to come and preach. I need preaching too, and I'm looking forward to being in a pew tonight. But the Lord knew what was needed, and I don't think I could really, it would hurt me to preach very long tonight, to be honest. And the Lord has provided Brother Steve and his precious wife. And so I'm hoping he gives at least a popcorn testimony of what I believe a miracle God has wrought in him physically. But do we have any words of praise tonight? Testimony. Amen. Amen. My wife has been nicer to me. So I might get some purple makeup and put it on every now and then. No, she's been good. She's been worried. But I am thankful for Brother Jacob. I love him, and I ain't known him long, but the Lord has just kindly allowed me to click with him, and he, as Brother Steve, has answered a prayer. And I love you, church. I love you, people. God has tied me to you. I tell Amy once a week that these is my people. I might not be from here, but y'all my people. If you're watching by Facebook or listening by radio, again, we want to tell you nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he's ready to do even more. We're grateful that you allow us to be a part of your worship, but we would love to have you here in person. So think about it, pray about it. I believe if you pray about it that the Lord will lead you here at least for one service. But before Brother Steve gives us what the Lord has for us, I want us to have a time of prayer requests. Do we have any prayer needs tonight? Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. I just found out from Brother Ken, but there was a death. A car hit a man. Do we know that name?
Johnny Massengale.
Johnny Massengale. We'll lift him up. Beginning in September, we're going to be starting, it's 12 weeks, right, Brother Paul? Experiencing God class, and we've not decided on Tuesday or Thursday yet, but we're going to go through it, and I watched some of it with Brother Paul yesterday, and it got me excited. It just helped make the coals a little hotter, you know. And so the sign-up sheet will be out front. And in 2 weeks, Lord willing, those that sign up, we're going to meet together to kind of decide what night and when and where and all that about once a week getting together. But it's going to be in your bulletin. But let me ask you this. Has your personal testimony, is it more historical, or is it a bulletin of a life that is regularly experiencing God? You see what I'm saying? Lots of times, the further we grow, the more we look back where we see God work, but He still wants to work. He still has great things for me to experience, for you to experience. And so think about that as we get closer and closer to the study. Anything else? Go ahead, bro.
Okay.
Checks in the mail. Amen. You never know what a kind word may do for somebody either. Sister? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a hernia. Maddie had one of those on her belly, and the first time I seen it, as a first-time father, boy howdy, that he was wondering what was wrong. Anyone else? I'm going to ask Brother Johnny if he would open us up in prayer, and then Brother Steve, you just come up here and do as the Lord will. But I also want to thank God for Powell Valley Electric. They kept our lights did go out for about, 5 hours? But praise God, by dark, the lights were on. I think tonight is the last night for the ministry across the road, or is next week? When does Lee County?
Next Thursday.
How about Scott? The 15th, so we need to be praying for that. But Brother Johnny, and the altar is open.
our own, ain't we, brother? Well, it's good to be here. And I'm going to say this. About 20-some years ago, give or take, I came here to a class. And I think this part wasn't here. If some of y'all were here then, I don't know. It seemed like there was a wall they had never took out. Was that out when you came, Brian? Was that, huh? How long?
It's always
been like 7 years. Okay. Well, the pastor was here said they was taking a wall out. And I don't know if that's been a long time.
Might have been downstairs.
Well, anyhow, that don't matter. That's beyond measure. But I came here for a college class back with, I think it was Appalachian College that they have through the association. And that's been many years ago. And I think that's the only time I was ever in this building. And for several years now, I guess, Brian, you've been here 10 years?
Six.
Oh, yeah, you went to... Yeah, you went to Georgia for a while, didn't you? That's right. Right after I went to Thompson Settlement, and we've crossed paths through the years, and time gets away. But I am, if you've already heard, my name's Steve Neff, and I'm a cancer survivor. This time last year, you think Brian looks rough. I looked even rougher. I was a walking dead man. But God seemed fit to orchestrate the things to get them together, to get me to be able to stand and preach. Matter of fact, the 19th will be a year since I had my surgery, and I don't have time to explain all that, but they took me apart and put me back together. But God's the one that does the work, no matter what. But I will say this, seems like I feel led. He may be your doctor, but one of the surgeons is a fine Christian man. His last name is Messerschmidt, about three sizes bigger than me, and got fingers about as big as my two together. And he walked into the room over there, and he said, I'm going to cut you right here and take your neck apart. And I thought to myself that day, this man with them big monster-sized fingers is going to work on my neck. I'll never be able to preach again. Anyhow, it did work out, and God's good. And like my wife already mentioned, I called Brian yesterday, was to talk to him about my upcoming surgery, and God knows what he's doing. And allow me to be here tonight. So if you will, tonight, I won't take any more as formal introduction other than just appreciate you, right, Brian, allowing me to come tonight. It's been a long time since we've been able to be together, but y'all pray for me and I will pray for you tonight. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. I told Brian today, we was messaging back and forth, and I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to bring a message tonight on the subject of shipwreck. And it's not something that we have in our area that's going to happen on the physical side. If you're like me, you've probably fished a few times and nearly turned the boats over and all that stuff. But I'm talking about a spiritual shipwreck tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and if you'll find verse 18 tonight, the Bible says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have declared unto Satan, or delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight, I need your anointing. There's not one thing I can do without your unction and your power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know tonight this is a midweek service, and Lord, in theory, a pastor knows that those that are here tonight are their faithfulest, most steadfast, unmovable Christians in the church. And Lord, we're grateful for them. And God, it's Lord, in all the meetings I've preached through the years, many times I've took the opportunity to be in someone else's pulpit behind their sacred desk. Lord, to be able to come on a Wednesday night and preach to the faithful, I hold in high regard. Now, Father, tonight I need your unction, your power of the Holy Spirit. I would you consume me for just a few moments and make it easy for the listener to hear. Lord, I pray right now that you put your hands upon this dear pastor. Lord, continue to heal him in a way physically, but Lord, help prepare him to face a new way of life in the days ahead. Lord, help his dear wife and his children. Lord, they've always been there with him and stood beside him. Lord, I pray you give them strength in the days ahead. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You know what, folks? Things are getting bad, bad in this world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that, one, we're living in the last days. If you study the Apostle Paul and his writings, and he, more than anything that he relates to, is the fact that there'll be perilous times. It'll be troublesome times. It'll come on this earth, and I don't have time to get into all that. Your pastor, I'm sure, has preached several times on the end time events. But it gets worse and worse every time you watch the news. You read pick up a newspaper, which that's nearly a thing of the past, but if you look at any kind of news outlets, it's trouble on every side. There's a story that I read just a few weeks ago about a man that was a sailor, and he was shipwrecked. And he was on a deserted island alone. And he was there for some time, many years. And the story goes like this, that the man one day saw another ship approaching, and from that ship there was a little John boat come off that and come to the shore where he was at, and the captain of that ship, or the officer in charge, said, the captain wants you to read these newspapers. And after you get done reading these newspapers, if you would like to come back with us then, we'll rescue you. And that's sort of the way I feel sometimes. I feel like that in the days we're in, that I don't want to be here. Paul said he was betwixt the two, and he said it was far better to depart but for him, but it was needful for him to stay for others. And I understand that today, but in our text today, we see that it deals with the dangers of shipwreck. It talks to us here as we look at what's being said here. Paul himself, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about being beaten. He talks about being wrecked upon the sea. He talks about things coming against him. And we know that Paul mentions three times in 2 Corinthians that he was shipwrecked. But after he writes that epistle, we know it's recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter, that Paul was once again shipwrecked on his way to Rome. And so I guess Paul, he was a man that understood what it meant to be shipwrecked. So the problem is not in the physical shipwreck. The problem tonight is us being spiritually shipwrecked. See, If you get to a place in your life, and like I said, it's a strange message tonight because of the faithful ones that are here. But it might be your mail I'm delivering tonight. I don't know what it is that someone needs tonight, but if you're here tonight and you've decided to desert away from the faith, maybe in a way that you've come to a place, or at least to a degree of it, that you're not where you used to be. Now, the old-time preacher said if you're not where you was at when you first got saved, you was backslidden. And I would say tonight that most of us, from the time we were saved, when we got saved, we was on fire. We was ready to take on the world for the Lord. But now we become lackadaisical. We sort of become laissez-faire and things, and we get to a point where we don't want to do anything for Him. We're satisfied. We come to church on Sunday. We give money. I noticed you had an offering plate or an offering out there, and it's real easy to walk in there and just give you money. And that's a great thing. The church needs support, and everyone needs to be used for the goodness of the gospel. But at the same time, it's real easy for us to sit in the pew. And we become, naturally, we become a shipwreck of sorts. So, when we look at the scripture today, we must understand that we must maintain a right course. We must keep the faith, and we must keep going forward, and we must never assume that our ship will continue to stir or steer right. Now, so today, I want to talk to you about what I see from this portion of Scripture. First of all, we see the pattern of shipwreck. Now, shipwrecks never happen. They never happen without something going astray. See, but the Bible says here, which in verse 19, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And then in verse 20, he talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander and that how they have become shipwrecked. Now, you may be here tonight and you say, well, I don't know that I've ever been into a place in my life that I would feel like this pastor would need to turn me over to Satan. But listen, there's a world out there today that is crazy, and it could be you tomorrow. Every one of us could become haphazard in our lives at this very day. And so in the case of these two men, it's mentioned here, we find the scripture says here that they began to push off. They began to do it carelessly. Listen, I've fished the Powell River a lot in my life, been raised on it, and one of the hardest things there is to do is to get off the bank and get in the boat. And if you push off before you're ready to make that step, let me tell you, it becomes a wreck. You tops over and everything. And if you may be here tonight and say, I've had that happen to me. Well, it's the same way today for us when we become spiritually shipwrecked. It can happen. So we find these two men as we see that Paul is addressing Timothy about them and talking about that they are probably elders in the church. Now that goes to say tonight, as I've already said, that means they were the faithful ones. They were probably there, that they were in the crust of everything. They were on board. They were there when they would be, someone would say, let me do this or let me do that. And they were right there in the place, and they were very influential. We don't have much of a record of them for that, but I want to tell you tonight, even though we don't know much about these two men, I can tell you that the leaders of the church can go bad. Absolutely. So the Bible says here, and verse number 19 says, having put away, that means to push off. That means to go away from where you're at. And so sometimes we forget. I mean, to push away. I don't know about you, but now you look at me tonight and you say, well, you don't look like too big of a feller. But I've learned in this past year, last year at Christmas for last, I weighed 240 pounds, and because of my sickness, I was I was no longer able to eat and went through a process of things. But one thing I did learn during that time, that I can survive off less food. And so from that, I have got myself in the place where I can push away from the table a little bit better than I used to. So these men here, that's what they've done. That as far as their faith, they began to push away. They went, as the writer in Isaiah said, he said they went away backwards. Sometimes that's where we're at in the world today. So anyhow, they pushed off from the faith. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying here, they have putting away concerning the faith. And sometimes it's that way in our lives. The Bible tells us that Himenaeus here, or however you say his name, he had said, and you go over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at it, it says, he says the resurrection has done past. He was given a false doctrine. See, Paul, he had addressed that before. He said, there's some of you thinks that you've missed out. There's some of you gets this way. So we're finding here as we look at this, if you break down what's being said about this guy and his life here, we find he's probably been an orchestrator of a false doctrine that's being preached. Now see, that's another problem that happens in the church. I don't know how you all feel about it, but this is the way I feel about it. I've been a pastor nearly 17 years now. I've got that many years under my belt. But I know that the man that stands in this pulpit, whether you vote him in, whether you pay his salary, whatever it is, he's God's man and he's the leader of the church. And whatever doctrine that he preaches from this pulpit is what you should be following. If you don't follow that, then and you're like Himenaeus here, and you want to fall after something else, then you'll never be able to work together. So I don't know why tonight that seems like it's an important point to bring across, but if you are drifting away from what's being said, I picked up one of your bulletins or your welcoming bulletins out there, and right off the bat I saw the what you all stand for as a church. What you knew when the people come in to visit this church, they know where you stand. They know what you believe in, and that's the good thing. So here we have Himenaeus, and he's preaching something in the church, teaching something in the church. It's not right. And then in Alexander's case, we don't know much about him. There's a lot of opinions. If you go back and study after some of the greatest writers in the world, the ones that's passed through years, some would think, you know, maybe he could have been Alexander the Coppersmith, but I don't think so. Paul said he did him much harm. And I think here that in this situation, Paul has still got a little inkling of thinking he's going to turn out all right. He's going to do better. So anyhow, and he probably wasn't Alexander the Jew that we find out in Acts 19, because he's a whole different kind of breed of person here. We see that. See, sometimes Paul is relating here, said, I've turned them over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme, that they might not go against what God wants. Now, you may be here tonight and say, who is this crazy nut that he's brought in here? But I'm just a preacher of the gospel. I'm a New Testament preacher. I believe in the Word of God, and I believe every infallible word of it. I study to show myself approved. And I want tonight not to, I don't want to be a harm to anybody. I want to be a help to you tonight. That you might say tonight, well, I don't. And that's what happens is I don't. And we get away from what we're supposed to be. Tonight, I don't know, you may be in a shipwreck yourself, and you may be heading in a whirlwind. Your sail may be breaking to the wind and going away, just as they were there. The Bible says that old Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and we did. You know what happened to him. You may be in the same boat tonight, but listen, if we're going, I don't want to see anybody be a spiritual shipwreck. Sometimes we get so far out. Sometimes we get so far out we can't come back. Sometimes we get so far out that we can't make a turnaround. God knows tonight I've made enough turnarounds in my life. I have come to the conclusion that if I had stayed in the ship all I should have. I'd been farther down the stream than I am now, but at the same time, it's easy. It's easy to get out of order. See, some people prove themselves to be false believers, just like Ananias. I mean, he was at the place here, Paul, pretty well. He explains, there, as we spoke about already, that how that he already had a false doctrine. He had a false doctrine. And then, you know, you can be a false believer. And that great preacher, Bailey Smith, if you know that name, he preached wheat and tares all over this world. And ultimately, thousands and thousands of people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because in the church, right in the middle of the greatest, one of the greatest wheat fields there is, there's people that are sitting there that are false. They've become tares in their life. And you may be here today and you say, well, I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're not sure where you stand. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're going through a shipwreck and you can keep your course and you can keep fighting against the current or whatever it takes tonight, you can find yourself, as you get through that shipwreck, you'll be far better than you were. You may be here tonight, and you may have a history of being in laps. I know these people today that they are in today and out tomorrow. I don't know how many people's on your church roll, but my little old country church over there, if I had everybody that was on the church roll on one Sunday, we'd have to build a new church. If they come continually, we'd have to, because we'd have nowhere to put them. And probably the same thing here. Probably on the books, whoever your clerk is has got on register. There's probably hundreds of people that belong to this church. But where are they at tonight? Well, they just keep going back to the shipwreck. Keep going back and back and back. So anyhow, we got to maintain the right course. Got to maintain the right course. Don't think it's going to pull itself out on its own. You got to bend in prayer. You got to come to the Lord. You got to get in the book. You got to find a way to pull yourself out. Secondly, tonight, we have the plight of the shipwreck. See what happened? These two men that Paul's talking about, and he's speaking of others, have put away the faith. He said, I have delivered unto Satan. Delivered unto Satan. Now, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But there was a time and a place back in the history of our churches, Baptist churches. And there was a time and a place, if you got out of line, they called you to the floor. They put your name out to the crowd and said, they're doing this. Ben, I pastored the oldest Baptist church this side of Bristol. That's on record that we know of. And you go back and look at some of the things that's in the recorded minutes there. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that people got put out of the church for that we let happen today right in our own pews. Sadly, Brian, you and I both are guilty of that. And we let it happen. Now, my church has got a problem. They put a man out because somebody stole somebody's moonshine. But that's a different story. But remember, we live in the mountains, don't we? But anyhow, so you had the pattern and you had the plight. He basically excommunicated these men out of the church. Put them away. See, Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't like this true Bible, but it's not my Bible. Paul wrote it. He wrote this thing. And if I feel like if one of the apostles said it, it's true. It's true, because God ordained it. He breathed into their minds what to put down, and they pinned it down in a way that we could do that. But see, Paul said, I'll turn them over. If you're here tonight and you're not where you need to be, remind you that God's got a protection for you, for believers that are in the place they need to be. But He's also got a special protection for those that have fallen by the wayside. I say, I believe we're sealed to the day of redemption. I do not doubt that. I'm an eternal salvation preacher. But at the same time, I believe God will let us go out and get a little farther away that we become so miserable. Miserable in our lives that nothing we do satisfies us. Nothing we do makes us happy. Nothing we can do. And most people don't have to have the pastor, the deacon board, or the church come and excommunicate them. What happens is they just put themselves away and get away farther and farther. Let me hurry here tonight. If you've ever been schooled the hard way through discipline, like the writer Solomon said, he said that you put a whip out for a horse. You put a bridle for the ass. And it says you put a rod on the fool's back. That's been most of us. There's been a few times that I felt God's rod. I felt a few times that I've been wanting to go this way and something just jerks my head around and in a way that I feel like that I just, there's no way I can go forward. Maybe you here tonight, you feel like sometimes you've been whipped back into shape. I've raised horses, not for several years now, but we used to. We had horses and rode several that was a little bit rowdy, a little bit out of sorts. And more than once I've had to raise a hand to them to get them calmed down. I'm not into beating on animals, no. But that was the only way sometimes to get them to surrender. Sadly, that's the way God does. Think about old Jonah. Jonah didn't want to serve God. He tried to get in a ship. Tried to get away from God. Tried to do it his way. Had to go through a very disgusting probationary period while he spent some time in the local whale. And then we find him in the end. After all he's been through, God put him right back to where he was and he had to return back to who he was. See, that's the ideal God does with our lives. We get to a place, you know, if we start to move away from Him, He starts bringing us back. He starts working on us. And finally, if we don't, He'll just let us go. He'll just let us go and say, "You fool." You say, "Preacher, I don't need this tonight." But these people that Paul was talking about, so they had to be disciplined. They were disciplined. Paul was saying, he said, "I'm going to get them turned over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." What's blasphemy mean? Reject. Reject. No different than the Bible tonight saying there's only one sin that's not forgiven. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here tonight and said, "I don't want to hear this. I don't hear this." Well, if I'm in tune with God and I'm preaching the right message tonight, He's speaking to somebody here tonight and saying, "Quit mocking me. Quit turning away from me." No. Solomon fell away. He took strange wives. And according to the book of Ecclesiastes, you look at it. He came back to where he was. He came back to the place he said everything else was vanity. But of the Lord. See, sometimes discipline, God, when He disciplines, He can bring you back to like He did there with Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Lord. Lied. And what happened? Dead. I'm in the funeral business. It happens. People die. But them two died prematurely. They weren't sick. They were healthy. They had their minds. And all of a sudden, God said, "Enough. Enough." Listen, you may be here tonight and say, well, I'm okay. I ain't got that far. Well, King Saul thought that too, didn't he? He thought, you know, they told him obedience. Obedience. He said, if you lack obedience, it's like witchcraft. So I don't know why tonight this is the message that God laid on my heart, but hey, listen, if you're here tonight and you're really saved, you're not like the ones in 1 John chapter 2. John said they went out from us, but they were not of us. And I say that tonight, you are the base of this church. You say, well, not many of us here, but listen, this thing wouldn't happen without people that's in this room. I mean, those that are faithful tonight, and I'm glad that we still have some today that they're spiritual condition is not like that, what John's talking about, but they have been, it'd been better off for some if they never made a profession of faith, but they do. They do. They come out and they say, yeah, I'm one of them. I'm one of his. I belong to God. How many has been down into the waters of baptism and made a profession and stood right there and lied to the preacher and said, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And they say it with their mouth, but their heart was far from it. 20-some years, I was a member of the very church I pastor. The very church I pastor. 20, almost 21 years. Friendship Baptist Church, if y'all know where that is, over in my neck of the woods, they had just built a new church in the very early 80s. They put in a baptistry. We've been people that went to the creek, to the river, ponds. But they put this baptistry in, and being a sister church to us, they said, well, we had 30-some people saved in a time frame, or supposedly saved. And we had a baptism. I was one of the very first people to ever go into the baptismal waters at Friendship Baptist Church, even though our church was just using the facility. I've never forgot walking down into that baptistry. I've never forgotten speaking to Brother Bruce Wilmoth and saying the words, yes, I believed in Jesus Christ. But the whole time my heart was far from it. I went in. And I remember the taste of that water, and as I went under and come out, and all the people said, I am so proud of you, Stephen. I'm so proud of you. You make your grandmother proud. All these people would have been so proud of you. The whole time I was lying. I was not only lying to the pastor. I wasn't only lying to myself, but I was lying to God. See, that's a sad thing. The Bible says over in 2 Peter chapter 20, or chapter 2, and it says, for they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein. I mean, that's the sadness today. It's one thing like me to be 21 years a member of a church and be lost as a lost bone, high weed. But at the same time, I thank God that He was merciful to me, that He was long-suffering, that he never failed to deal with my heart. I don't have time, and maybe sometime if I ever come back again, I'll tell you more about my life. But I'm glad that my life wasn't like it was when Peter said that it had been better for them if they'd never known the way of righteousness than after they had known it. It's bad. I tell my church all the time, and I'm trying to hurry because I don't know how much time Brian paid for tonight. He probably just paid for about 30 minutes. But anyhow, Brother Jerry Murphy was our pastor. He pastored our church and another little church. And one Sunday night, in our little country church, he preached on the Paschal Lamb. I was probably 6, 7 year old, may have been 8. And he preached on that blood on that doorpost. And conviction hit my heart. And I didn't know what to do with it. If I could go back to when I was a 6, 7, 8-year-old boy, and I knew what to do with that convicting power that was upon me, I wished I'd said right then, Jesus, I'll take you. I'll become your bride. Right now, right here at this place, I wished I'd understood that, but I didn't. And then later in the years, as I said about my false baptism, went down into during Bible school like so many people do. Kids. This kid will get saved, so this one wants to get saved or acts like he gets saved. And next thing you know, the whole room got saved, but it's all a bunch of false professions. And that may be you here tonight. You come to the place where you was right there that you could have heard the very words that Jesus said, come, and you rejected. It's bad tonight to do that. So anyhow, we got to maintain the right course. I didn't mean to say all that, Brian, but I'm going to give you this that we can find here in the Word of God how that we can avoid ever getting shipwrecked. Look with me back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and see what it says here in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. What is that warfare? Well, Paul said, holding faith and good conscience. See, this Bible, especially the writings of Paul, is doctrine. And we have to hold fast to this. And this is what our faith comes from. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No other way tonight. It takes the Word of God. Oh yes, singing is great. It'll pierce your heart. It'll tear down the bonds that Satan has upon you. Help break up that hedge that the Word of God will penetrate. That's great. And somebody can get up here and tell you a story, can tell you about their lives. I mean, if I could go, if I had time, I don't have time not to tell you about where I come from, what I was, and who I was. You'd say, wow. And it might bring tears to your eyes. And it might get your heart all bubbly. But at the same time, it takes the Word of God to pierce you. You are here tonight like you maybe was last week. You was here Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school class, and you're in the same place that what Paul was talking to Timothy about. He said, listen, I charge you. I commit unto thee, and you can put your name there. Now, Brian, you could say, I commit unto you, son Brian, according to the prophecies that which went before on thee. I mean, what he's talking about, Paul is saying, I'm giving you a trust here. Go over here to the bank and you go in and say, I want to put my money in a savings account. That's trust. Some of you are here and have a retirement. And it's been entrusted to someone. Maybe you have a CD. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the only entrustment you've got is what this Bible says. What the Word of God says. And Paul is saying here, he's talking about what he's talking about. He goes over in chapter 4 of this book and he's talking to Timothy and he said, listen, when I laid hands on you, when I ordained you, he said, you received a prophecy that, he said, and I'm telling you, I want you to bring that back to your remembrance. I want you to remember what I said about you. When I laid my hands on you, when I came in there and said, I'm charging you, Timothy, to be a minister of the gospel. I mean, I've held my hands on many a man in my life to help ordain them through the years. And there's been some that I was proud. And there's been some there was this feeling, Brian, inside of me that someone right in their life, and it showed up in the end. But I'm telling you tonight, if you want to avoid a shipwreck, you've got to put this word of God, and you've got to say, this is it. And I'm going to hang on to that, nothing else. No more, no less. I'm an ordained Baptist preacher. And those papers don't make me a bit more preacher than my bird dogs can hunt. But I tell you this much, the ordination that comes from God has been put on our lives, whatever it might be. If you ain't supposed to be nobody but the man that takes care of the weeds outside, or maybe the woman that cleans the pews, if God's ordained it, He's trusted you to do that. And He wants you to be faithful, enduring all things. Listen, I got to hurry. Well, see, you must consider what's in this Word of God and trust in it. Believe in it. Hold it dear in your heart. And we must support the troops. Listen, you say, well, we support missions. I ain't talking about that. Every time your pastor gets up here, you ought to say, get him. Sick him. Come on, son. Preach. Preach. There's a lot of times, I don't know how it is for you, Brian, but a lot of times my church, sometimes they get a little quiet and I have to smack a few pulpits. And I have been known to beat up on my chest so they make sure they hear me. But at the same time, there's a lot of times I don't hear nobody but my wife. So, amen. You say, preacher, well, he's long-winded. He talks too much all the time anyhow. When you say that, he gets a lot. Well, I tell you, you just don't know how much that'll help him. See, our lives, we've got to support others. We've got to engage in this truth of God's Word. There's a foolishness of preaching to confound the wise in that. Hey, we need to be ready to stand up and fight. Fight. I used to be assistant pastor at Mulberry Gap Baptist Church, and every year they sung, "I'm in the Lord's army." Yes, sir. When I first got saved, I thought it was sort of corny. But you know, as I got older, I was one of the first ones to pick my feet up and stomp the ground. When's the last time you did? Hey, when's the last time you did? I mean, sometimes we got to do that. We're fighting for the men and the women and the little boys and girls that's out there today. We've got to keep hold to it and say, this word is true, and proclaim it to them that they can be saved. Sometimes we need to quarantine her. That word seems like it keeps coming back around on it. But we ought to. Any false teachings? Nip it. It don't seem right, stop it. I don't care if it is you, pastor. If he gets up and he's all way off kilter like he is most of the time, like me. But stop him. Somebody's teaching Sunday school and they get on some tangent that ain't right, stop them. I'm telling you tonight, we can't do it in our own thoughts. We can't do it in our own concepts. We can't do it in our own worldview. It has to be with this doctrine of this Bible right here. And we must continue to fight the good fight of faith. Men, I'm going to close right here, Brian. Men, my dear friend Bobby Howard. I'm thinking about Bobby Harbor. Bless his soul. He's in heaven now. But my friend Bobby Howard and I have worked every day together, Monday through Friday, for 3 months. He's a Methodist preacher, different than anyone I've ever seen. But there's been a reoccurring thought that keeps coming back between us, and we're remodeling a massive building. And we keep coming back to the point where Paul says, I have become all things for all men, that I might save some. That's what we need to do. We need to lay aside everything else. We need to gird up our loins. We need to sharpen up our irons. And we need to get down to business for the Lord. He said, holding faith, a good conscience. Hold to that. There's going to be people. This brother said, if you get out, you'll run into people you can talk to. That's what he said. They may not believe the way you do. They may not have the understanding of the word like you do. They may want to disagree with you. But when you run into them, what do you got to do? Show them the love of Christ. And keep doing that. And he doesn't want us. God doesn't want us to be gullible, naive. He doesn't want us to be backing away from a fight. But he wants us to go out and not cause one. And be a lover of God. See, Paul said to the Corinthians. To the Corinthians in 2nd chapter and verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he said, serpent beguiled him. He said, if there's one comes and preacheth another Jesus, if there's one that comes and preaches another Jesus, listen, he said, don't receive it. But I'm telling you today, God wants us. So anyhow, we must keep the faith. We must keep a good conscience. And if you do that, the content of what we believe, if it lines up with this word of God here, and you continue to do that, God will help you. There'll be people today that will feel so guilty when you show them what you believe. They show them what you believe, and you can't make them change who they are. But if there's enough of you, Jesus in you, then you absolutely can change their life. Got to keep the same course. We got to finish our fight. Got to keep going forward. Well, I hope that's some help to you tonight. God, we just ask you tonight in a mighty way. Lord, I know I didn't mean to preach as long as I did. But God, you know what's needed. You know what I had in my heart. Lord, I'm far from ever doing anything that would be contrary to your thought. But Lord, I pray tonight that someone in this place, be something I said that maybe it'll inspire them to keep fighting, keep moving forward. Father, you know what's needed. Continue to help this pastor, heal him physically. And most importantly, continue to help him fight spiritually in this battle we're in. Help his church to be a soul-saving station in this community, a light in this dark world. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother.
Yeah. I've had it's all my mom served in the church for 19 years. And in my senior year of high school, she admitted that she had never known Jesus Christ as her Savior until then. I don't take for granted that everybody's in here tonight is saved. It's so easy to drink. And the more you drink, the closer you get to a shipwreck. I thought about the Titanic. Most of the people on that boat had no idea of the catastrophe that was coming. Even those that could have done something didn't realize it. Let's think about something. If I ask on Sunday morning, what was Jesus' main purpose here on earth? Most would say, to save people from their sins. And that is true. He came. But at 12 years old, in the tent, when they asked him, what are you doing? He said, I must be about my Father's business. We are so self-consumed that we can't even make salvation about us. Listen, he's already done enough that we don't have to say he will, he will, he will. He has, he has, he has. And it's easy to dream. And I'm going to be honest with you, I look around when you talk about being ordained. Folks, I will tell you, I don't think God's taken me anywhere before the rapture. And I believe he's rallying us as a body of Christ for one last push. For one last Christ. And praise God for such a time as this. And you are the ones that God has gathered around me and around one another. And will we? Will we rally? Will we push? I keep saying the best days are ahead. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I still believe it is for me, for this church. He was talking about BBS. I saw it in youth camps year after year. Youth go off. Same ones get saved, come back and be baptized. And what that's done is led to a confused generation. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is ready. The Holy Spirit is willing. And I know you're weary. I know the world is kicking you. It's beating you. The devil's coming against you. But why is it so hard right now? Because if we don't do it, it ain't gonna. Who is? Let me put it that way. Who is? Amen. And that means that we're gonna have to do a little more than we're not gonna do. But I want you to pray about the experiencing God. Because praise God, when you remember I said that Jesus declared that his purpose was to honor the Father. God's been dealing with me today. And I've always known Jesus loved me. But you know, the Father has kind of been missing. The idea. But you know what that tells me? The Father loves me. The Father sent his Son because he loved me. The Father's plan that the Son carried out was because he loved me. Hallelujah. Tonight. So right now, I just want to, or number one, if you're lost and you need Jesus, would you come? Would you come? But right now, I just want us to gather together and pray again and just surrender ourselves and Thomas Village Baptist Church to his will. Will you do that with me? Would you come up here, and if you need to sit down, we'll line you up on the youth side.